Okay. Now we have another level load. Another level load. Somebody that everybody, all they have to do is have 2 seconds with her and they fall in love with our Lindy. Our Lindy.
She's getting better too, by the way. Yep. Look at her, she's fired up.
I'm fired up because I have a boyfriend. Yeah. Here he is, right here in the front row, Nathan Stanhope. No, I'm a bobcat. Many of you thought I was going to talk about Japanese proverbs because I said I was. However, something happened over the weekend that was unplanned, and out the window went the Japanese proverbs to come back on Sunday, maybe. But on Saturday night, I was on my way to dinner with Millie, and I wrecked my car. I was turning left from Madison onto Texas Street, and I just hit the curb for no reason at all. A half a second of inattention, and I hit the curb. There was no damage to me and no visible damage to the car, except the wheel was kind of scrunched and both axles were broken in the front. State Farm is in the process of totaling it out as we speak. But I thought about this car because I've had it since 1998, and it's one of several cars that have played a tremendous role in my life. So tonight I'm going to talk about everything I've learned from my cars. Now, everything I know I haven't learned from my cars, so it's not titled Everything I Know I Learned from My Cars. It's titled Everything I Learned from My Cars. It might be a short talk. Just kidding, there's a lot. And of course, country music supports this particular topic because some of the classic songs from country music are about travel and cars. Let's start with Willie Nelson, On the Road Again. Oh, yeah. On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. That has been my theme song ever since my first car. The first car that I remember falling in love with and anthropomorphizing, whatever that word is, making a human being out of the car, personifying, was a station wagon, 1951 DeSoto. Wow. And with a name like DeSoto, of course, he had to be named Ferdinand. And maybe you never heard of Ferdinand DeSoto, but then your global history is at fault, not me. So Ferd and I lived together for, well, he was only 5 years younger than I. He was in my family until 1966, at which time my parents sold him for $30. Or as I say, 30 pieces of silver. Did they ask me if I wanted to have a different car? No. I had grown up with Ferd. And it says in Matthew 27:3, Judas felt remorse after he betrayed Jesus. He returned the 30 pieces of silver the chief priests and elders had given him. Did my parents feel remorse? No, they did not. I was forced to drive a white Volkswagen Bug. And we had a red Volkswagen convertible in the family. Now, what I learned from Ferdinand DeSoto is obviously betrayal. Betrayal happens. It just does. Sometimes through no fault of the betrayed. Yeah. Almost always through fault of the betrayer, though. So if we are betrayers, we should feel remorse and return our 30 pieces of silver. Get our money back, so to speak. But the Volkswagen convertible and the white VW bug taught me that size does matter. I went to school at the University of California at Davis, and that's a four-hour drive from where I grew up in Bakersfield. Well, 3.5. Well, 3, okay. Depends on whether you're driving a Volkswagen Bug or a Volvo Turbo. But the reason size matters is because I went away to school and my family helped me move into this apartment in Davis. And, you know, everything I owned didn't fit in a Volkswagen convertible, even with the top off and, you know, piled high and deep. So it took several trips, actually, over the course of 2 or 3 months. By Christmas, I was moved in. Size does matter. I graduated from Davis in 1968, and I got a great job with the federal government in St. Louis. The recruiter, the Army recruiter, oddly enough, for civil service, said, "Do you want to go to St. Louis?" And I said, "Yes, I'd love to. I don't care what I'm doing when I get there. I just want to be 2,000 miles away from home." And I wasn't going to drive the red convertible either. I was just going to take 2 suitcases, and everything I owned would fit into one, and a case of Coors would fit into the other. And that was a good plan until the one with the Coors in it busted open on the airport sidewalk. There wasn't enough duct tape in the world to get that suitcase back together. But we tried. Anyway, with the money that I got from this first job in St. Louis, which was in information technology, although at the time we called it management information systems or data processing, I bought a 1968 Opel Kadett. Cute little car. Very cute little car. I had long weekends on every federal holiday because I was working for the Army. And from St. Louis, you can go to about 15 different states on the weekend. So I went to Wisconsin and Michigan and Kentucky and Tennessee and Arkansas and all over Missouri. There was no reason to go to Kansas except to get Coors. If you're from Kansas, I'm from Bakersfield. I know where I speak. But I learned, I called it my Trans Am Opel because I had a friend who had a Dodge Charger and I could drive faster than she could. And we'd race from St. Louis to Nashville because her parents lived in Nashville. And I would always win. And I credited the car, not the driver. So it was a Trans Am Opel. And one of the things I learned is that speed thrills. Speed also kills, but speed thrills. And that's part of what got me in trouble over the weekend, because I was probably going too fast. So I had the Opel until 1972, and it was a great car. And the only reason I traded it in was because I quit my job and decided to tour around the country and bought a Dodge van. It was a windowed van, and I fixed it up inside so it had a bed, and it had a space for an ice chest. It had a director's chair. It had a television. It had drawers. It had a heater. The heater wasn't quite effective enough, but it was. I left St. Louis in September of 1972 and arrived in California in May of 1973. That's 9 months later. And I gave birth to the gas crisis of 1973. Fortunately, gas was 25 cents for the whole duration of my 9-month trip. Yeah. And as soon as I got home to California, skyrocketing prices. Yeah. But 75 cents. Yeah, $4.39 today or something like that, I don't know. But the Dodge van that I bought was Tiger Lily Metallic in color, something of a rust-like color. and I named him Nicholas Copernicus because it was the 400th anniversary of Nicholas Copernicus's major discovery, and he was copper-colored. So I called him Nicholas Copernicus with two P's. That's his whole name, Nicholas Copernicus with two P's. And his name was Nicky to me. From Nicky, who I had until 1985, from 1972 to 1985, I learned about loyalty and about love because he was my best friend during that time period. We went everywhere together. We traveled from San Diego to Santa Fe every summer for nearly all of those years and went to the opera there. We traveled anywhere anybody wanted us to travel, in fact. My cat and I would get in the Dodge van and head for anywhere, which brings me to my second country song, which is a Jody Messina song. You all know this one. Heads Carolina, tails California. Somewhere greener, somewhere warmer. Up in the mountains, down by the ocean. Where? It don't matter as long as we're going somewhere together. I've got a quarter. Heads Carolina, tails California. I didn't have to flip my coin during my travels that 9 months I was on the road. I always knew I was going to end up in California, but I did see 25 states, 5 provinces of Canada, and put 27,000 miles on my van in that 9-month stretch. So Nikki and I had a relationship founded on loyalty and love, and I had him until he died. And then I kept the body around for a few months after. I was having him towed when I changed residences because he didn't run, but I couldn't bear to part with him. So we were over in Hillcrest, north of Mercy Hospital, in a condo over there, and there was a 72-hour law, and every time the police came by, I had to move the car. So I would move it. I would start at the top of the hill and let it roll down to the next logical parking space. God forbid anybody got in my way, because we were rolling fast. And then I betrayed him. I sold him for 300 pieces of silver through the auto trader. The first guy that offered me money, sold. That was one of the major letting goes of my life, because we'd been friends for 14 years. And to actually allow him to depart was huge. It was huge. It was like having a child go away to college. But I loved that car. In 1984, while I was still honoring the corpse of the Dodge van, I bought a VW Scirocco from my roommate. It was a Chicago-born and raised Scirocco, and the reason that's significant is because the floor had rotted out from the salt. And you could actually see the ground through the floorboard. But that car was unique because it was the first car that had any pizzazz. It was a giddy up and go. And I lived in San Diego and my parents lived in Bakersfield, and there's that whole ridge route in between, the Grapevine by another name. And the Scirocco was the first car I'd ever driven that I didn't have to go up in third gear. I could go up in fourth gear and fly up it at 70 miles an hour, or whatever the speed limit passed for in those days. So I learned that absolute speed thrills absolutely. If speed thrills, absolute speed thrills absolutely. And I learned that a stick shift has its moments, but eventually you're going to want an automatic. Yeah. In 1986, the Scirocco also went out the door for about 300 pieces of silver. And Jocko was born. Jocko's name was Jefferson Starship.
Oh, no.
Jefferson Starship Trooper.
Ah.
After Robert Heinlein's Starship Trooper. And after Jefferson Starship, of course. He was an Isuzu Trooper. And his motto was born to be wild. He loved off-roading. Now, I said I personified them. They all have personalities. And I believe that there's a car. Each car has an angel associated with it, and that's the actual personality that we pick up on when we personify our cars. It's an angel that takes care of us in the car. And so I was with Nikki for 14 years, and I was with Jocko for 11. But Jocko took me to Canyon de Chelly, which is in northern Arizona, and is Navajo property. And a Navajo drove Jocko and me and my roommate all over Canyon de Chelly. They don't let you drive yourself around the canyon, but you can take a Navajo guide with you and they'll drive you. And that was absolutely stellar. And we took trips to, well, where didn't we take trips to, actually? I've been everywhere. Wait, that's a Johnny Cash song. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Cross the deserts bare, man. Breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I'm going to skip to the good verse. I've been to Louisville, Nashville, Knoxville, Obambika, Shefferville, Jacksonville, Waterville, Costa Rica, Pittsfield, Springfield, Bakersfield, Shreveport. The Bakersfield is why it's the best verse. Hackensack, Cadillac, Fond du Lac, Davenport, Idaho, Jellicoe, Argentina, Diamantina, Pasadena, Catalina. See what I mean? I've been everywhere, man. Breathe the mountain air, man. Cross the deserts bare, man. Of travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. Well, Jocko died in the Vons parking lot off of Del Mar Heights Road.
Yep.
He died in a fire. His own fire. I was inside the grocery store and the loudspeaker said, with the owner of the brown Isuzu Trooper, well, it wasn't brown, but in that light it looked so, please come to the front. I knew it was my Isuzu Trooper, but I thought that I left the lights on. And I get up to the front and the guy says, your car's on fire. But by the time I got out, I couldn't even watch it burn. The fire department had been very prompt and had put it out, spraying foam all over the guy next to me in the parking lot. He was angry. I learned that the best way to deal with angry people whose cars are foamed is to give them the money for a car wash. No problem so big that it can't be solved by throwing cash at it. But seriously, after Jocko died, I was the recipient of two free cars. They gave me I think it was a 1974 Ford something. It was gray, and we called it the Gray Gross because it was a gross polluter. But it didn't need registration because it had just been registered before she gave it away. And so I drove it for a year until it needed registration again, but it would not pass smog. So I gave it to Father Joe. And then a good friend gave me a white Volkswagen bus. It was like deja vu all over again, only bigger. My strongest memory of the Volkswagen bus is going up the hill from the interstate towards the beach and having the Volkswagen bus die on the hill and people honking. But I credited my friend with being a friend in need, and the gal who gave me the Gray Gross didn't even know me. She was looking for a home for her car that wouldn't pass the smog in a year. So I learned that friends in need are friends indeed. And then in 1998, after being unemployed for 3 years, well, unemployed for 2 years and underemployed for a year, I got a good job back and bought the Volvo 1995 Volvo 850. Had about 85,000 miles on it when I bought it, which was high mileage, but it gave me a good deal on the price. I paid below Blue Book for that Volvo. And a good thing, too, because I don't have children in college, I drive a Volvo. The maintenance...
Yeah.
I had a friend who also bought a Volvo in 1998, and she said, "Linda, you're going to have to get used to the $700 oil changes." And I thought she was joking until I had my first $700 oil change. You know, you go in and say, "I want the oil change," and they say, "Oh, your motor mounts are broken."
Yeah.
Oh. And the motor might fall out if you don't fix the motor mounts. Mm-hmm. It might not, of course, but that I got new motor mounts 2 or 3 times.
What?
If I hit a curb from the front, the air dam falls off, and it's $150 to replace it. Mm. Of course, the guy at the Shell station just tied it on with some of those wiring pull ties. I learned that luxury is worth paying for, but not worth paying for that much for.
Yeah.
I loved that Volvo, though. As of today, he has 240,000 miles on him, and he's in a salvage lot somewhere. Interestingly enough, although I call him he, this Volvo never had a personality or a name. He's just the Volvo. If I were to name him, I would have called him Bo, because he's a turbo. But he never had a personality that spoke to me. It was a great car, not a friend. Because I have friends now, I didn't need the friendships, I just needed the car. And I learned that friends that are human are better than friends that are mechanical, among other things. But I've had a great life of cars. I've had 3 cars, well, counting Ferdinand, 4 cars for over 10 years in my life. And I'm only 65, so that accounts for most of the time that I've been driving. I've been a member of the Auto Club for 51 years. I joined when I was 14, or something like that. But they recognize me when I call. They say, "Oh, you again." It's the Volvo, right? So I've learned about love and loyalty. I've learned about betrayal. I've learned about speed. I've learned about economy. There is none with a Volvo. I've learned about luxury. There's a lot with a Volvo. I've learned about leather seats and butt warmers. I won't be without leather seats again, I tell you that, except in the rental that I'm driving now. And sometime in the next couple of weeks, I'll be sharing with you what my next adventure will be automotively. So remember, you are what you drive. And thank you for giving me this time.
I hug. Oh, girl. Do we love her?
Yes.
Love you, honey. Love you too, Mel.